Welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McLean, and my co-host is yawning.
Hello, I'm Aaron Anderson.
And this is Please Leave a Message. And this is take three for us. We have recorded this twice, and we've had audio problems both times. It was uneditable. We had weird echoey problems, which made it impossible to listen to. So this is take three, and we're recording in a completely different manner. And where this originally was going to be episode 24, it's now episode 25, because I put out an episode in between. So this is season two, episode seven now. We are at pleaseleavemessage.com. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us on TuneIn. The reason I'm on TuneIn is because I have one of those Amazon Dots. And
yeah,
when we first got that, I was like, hey, Alexa, play Please Leave a Message podcast. And she's like, I don't know what that podcast is, but if you hook up this TuneIn thing, then you can listen to podcasts. And I'm like, okay. So I got that all hooked up. And so that's the reason we're on TuneIn, is because I just wanted to say to my Alexa thing to play my podcast.
Yeah, I just bought four lights and two plug adapters for our Alexa.
Yeah.
And I'm totally excited to hook them up, dude. Did you have those?
No, we don't have anything like that. The Alexa was a gift.
Yeah.
From my grandparents, like two Christmases ago. And the main thing that we use it for is for listening to my Spotify account. That's probably 90% of what we do. Hey, Alexa, play this song. And sometimes she can, and sometimes she can't, and sometimes she mishears you and plays something really weird, and you're like, oh, stop, stop, stop. I don't want the kids hearing that.
don't play Snoop Dogg. Play what I told you to play.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's why we're on TuneIn. So we're called Please Leave a Message because we do have a phone number set up. You can call us and leave us a message. Our number is 801-SKETCH-1. Really easy to remember. That is 801-753-8241. And you can find us on Instagram. We're at Message Podcast. And if we talk about anything visual, then we will post up a picture. All right. Oh, speaking of messages, so we actually have a message to play back. I say every week, hey, call us. And nobody ever calls us. And I used to say things like, hey, we're gathering spooky stories. Call us and leave a spooky story. Or, hey, we're gathering embarrassing stories. Call us and leave us your most embarrassing story. But my audience reach isn't quite big enough. And so people very rarely call in. My original co-host, he has a big audience. And so when he did it, back on our original episodes, he had the idea to do that. So I think some of the early ones have a bunch of calls where people would call in with whatever he was asking for. But my audience reach isn't quite as big as his. But we'll get bigger, and you can prove it by calling us and leaving us a message. Anyway, I do have a message from July, which I just recently discovered. Somehow, I'm supposed to get emails whenever we get a message on that number. And I did back in July, but I somehow missed the email. So this is a message.
Hey, it's your brother again. I guess this is the right number. I'm surprised that, you know, you're recording a podcast and you haven't figured out how to put a custom greeting on Google Voice. Okay, it's okay. We can still be friends and brothers even. Anyway, I just barely recently listened to your podcast for the first time, which I think you told me about it 6 months ago. But it's taken me a while to get to it. And also, I owe you a phone call because you called me for my birthday, and I haven't even returned that call yet. So that's what kind of brother I am. But this is not about that. I was listening to you on the podcast, and I was thinking, I wonder, like, we kind of sound alike, which makes sense because we're brothers. And then you started talking about me. It was a little freaky because I guess I gave you some tea a long time ago, which I do remember. So that was a little bit serendipitous that, I don't know, maybe you talk about me on all your episodes of the podcast. I've only listened to 1.5 so far. But I wanted to just leave a message and support the project. And Now, I guess maybe I'll have to send you some more tea as well. That's my message for you, and I hope that new episodes resume sometime. Bye.
Now is when I would point out that your brother thought he was a bad brother, but because he hadn't called yet, but you didn't listen to his message for months.
I know, right? Yep. And the only reason I found out that he'd called was because I was deleting emails, and I came across the email message that told me that I had a message. I was like, what? I was shocked. I don't know how I missed that one.
Just be glad it wasn't from work.
I probably would have heard about it the next day. Luckily, they don't call me. They don't need to call me. I work in a library.
So archives or something, right?
Yeah, so I work in the university archives at Utah Valley University, and I am the digitization specialist, which means I scan things, and I'm in charge of all the audio and video. Anything.
And you like the audio and video part, but you're not a huge fan of scanning things, right?
Scanning's not too bad, depending on what I'm scanning. Yeah, last year we did this project. Different people will come to us with projects and want us to help out with these different projects. So the Gorham City Library came to us, and they had about 50 years worth of local area yearbooks that they wanted us to scan. So I spent months scanning yearbook pages. So that was pretty cool.
That was kind of cool.
Because they had yearbooks clear back to the earliest one, I think, was 1920 or 30 something. Yeah, it was pretty far back. So, and that was really interesting because, boy, we have gotten more immature as a country. So those early yearbooks, when they signed them for each other, because some of those early ones did have signatures in them, and they weren't dumb things like "Have a nice summer" and "I hope to see you." And what was the dumb things we used to put in yearbooks? Because the stuff we used to write in yearbooks is stupid.
Yeah, agreed.
And they're just short messages. These ones, they wrote like these long messages, and they were really flowery with their speech. It was really eye-opening. And their pictures, too. They, looked like adults ready to take on the world. They honestly did. So then...
And you get made fun of for that nowadays.
And so, yeah, as the yearbooks got closer and closer to the modern-day yearbooks, just the kids look more and more immature. And they, you know, the seniors in the current, more current books don't look like they're ready to take on the world. They look like they're frightened little children.
What are the chances that you have a scan of the comic book about me and my big head?
I haven't scanned that, actually.
I would love for you to send me a scan of that. I barely remember you guys doing that. I remember thinking, that's funny. But if you ever scan it, make sure to let me know. I'll get my email. I'd love to have a copy of that.
I will do that. And I will even, yeah. I'll put a picture on the Instagram account because I do have it. Because I did. I showed it to the camera last time when we recorded. So there's issue one. Your big head. There's issue two. It's obviously Brian's art style.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. So that's where Mr. Squishy came from, was these comics. You remember that?
I don't remember Mr. Squishy, though.
Oh, okay.
I remember the head folded out, 30 feet.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. And I've got, a really large format scanner at work. I could probably scan that in two passes. We did this one, too. This is the Christmas issue. And that's
that's right. Okay. Visual memory, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now I remember Mr. Squishy.
There's Mr. Squishy.
Now that I see him.
Yep. And we drew him. I still draw him occasionally. I drew him a lot until he was my default go-to drawing until maybe 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, I did this comic.
That looks great.
I drew Mr. Squishy regularly. Until I came up with these characters, I drew Mr. Squishy all the time. And then once I came up with these characters, I was drawing them all the time. Until my website broke, and then I haven't been drawing anything. Anyway, I've got someone looking at it. I'm going to see if I can get it fixed. If not, I'm just going to have to rebuild it with a different program. But I don't look forward to doing that. Because web programming, although I can do it, it is one of my least favorite things to do. I'm not good at it. I'm just slow. Programming does not come naturally to me.
I prefer playing video games.
What games do you play?
Mostly Hearthstone.
Hearthstone?
Mm-hmm. Heroes of Warcraft, card game, like Magic.
Okay.
Great game. Best card game ever made. Completely digital. No cards to keep track of.
So, I love playing video games. Mm-hmm. I do. But I have so much going on that I don't have time for video games.
No, especially, like, in-depth video games. I would love to play one. I can't even start one because that's ridiculous. Like, any MMORPG.
Yeah.
Like, Star Wars. I would probably love to play a Star Wars MMORPG or Lord of the Rings. They got all the great franchises now, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a massive multiplayer online RPG, there's no way you can be a good father and play an MMORPG, in my opinion. You know, it's just, you know, but a card game, you sit down and play a couple games, yell at your kids when they bug you. You know, how long does a card game take? Not that long, usually.
Depends on the card game.
Yeah, that's true. Munchkin. I just learned Settlers of Catan. That's super cool.
Okay, so speaking of Settlers. So Settlers of Catan is the board game that got me back into playing board games. My wife's uncle brought it to a family party, and they were big into it. So they had multiple copies of it. That was a big family party. So he set up several tables and had people playing that game. And they taught it to us the way that they play it. And I had a lot of fun with it. And I eventually ended up buying it and all the expansions that were available at the time.
Taking it from 4 to 6 players, yeah. Knights, Catan, and Seafarers, right?
Right. Plus plus the 4 to 6 player expansions.
I had it sitting on my shelf for four years with all the expansions and never played it till just recently.
Really?
But I had to collect them all because I bought the first one.
Well, and there's more of them now. They keep putting out more stuff for it.
I just bought Game of Thrones expansion.
Okay.
Yeah. Super awesome.
So I had those. And we played it a lot. And then one time I played it with the actual rules, not the rules that my wife's uncle taught us. We played the actual rules. And I realized I hate that game. We literally played it all the time. But when you play the actual rules, I don't have fun.
You need to find a way to post the rules you use.
Okay. It's not that big of a difference. It's a very simple change. It was just the people that we were playing with, they were like, we want to play the actual rules. And so I'm like, okay, I'll play the actual rules. And that was the most excruciatingly long, horrible game.
So what, did you just start with some resources?
No. And see, I didn't realize this was not a rule because he just kind of taught it to us on the fly and I never read through the rules or anything, right?
Yeah, I hate doing that. I hate reading rules, dude. Love board games, hate reading rules.
So
nothing like, you want to just ruin my life, give me like a fat rule book to read to play a really cool game. I'm not gonna do it. Anyway, go ahead.
So basically the only difference was that instead of there being a certain set time for you to trade and barter,
mm-hmm.
anybody could barter at any point of the game.
Yeah, that's how we play.
Okay, that's not the rule.
Oh, well,
that's don't cool. change it though. Don't change it, because if you change it, you'll ruin
the
game.
Whenever we feel like, we're like, hey, can I have some of that, you know, and then they say no, because then you'll build a city and win. Worth a shot.
No, like, it was, have you played, what's that old game, Pit? You played that game?
Is it like Quake?
No, it's like, it's a card game, and like, every Mormon family from the 70s owned it.
Sounds familiar.
There's a bell, and you're trading stocks, basically. There's wheat, and there's barley, and there's grain. Not grains. There's a bunch of different grains, and everybody's trading and wheeling and dealing. And it's like the game starts, the market opens, and everybody is just yelling and shouting and trading. That's how our Settlers of Catan games were. Like, everybody was constantly trading while everybody was taking their turns. And it was fun, and games were fast, and it was a riot. And then, yeah, those people were like, oh, we want to play with the real rules. And I haven't played the game since. But it got me into board gaming again. So we've got...
So I got to tell you, if you don't have this game, this is the game you need, dude. Probably, arguably, the best board game ever made, Betrayal at House on the Hill.
I have that, and the expansion.
Yeah, me too. Betrayal at...
The Widow Walker or something.
The D&D City, Waterdeep, Watergate.
Oh, no. That's not an expansion. That's just a different...
Yeah. Sorry. No, I have version. The expansion, too, that gives you the new quest, but I was thinking of the new one. Super cool, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of a hill, it's a D&D city.
Yeah, I don't have the D&D city one.
It's so cool. Yeah.
I heard they made that, but I haven't tried that one yet. I want
to
get
It's just like Betrayal, but it's just, you know, it's just, they got that neat flavor to it.
Yeah.
But Betrayal, House on the Hill, just a great freaking idea of a game. Changes every time.
Yeah.
Love that game, dude.
So the day, so we bought Betrayal at House on the Hill. I remember when we bought that. I think we played it 5 times that day. That was a great day.
That's a committed gamer. I can never play it more than once.
Oh, really?
Because I'm always like, when I'm done, I'm like, okay, that was something. But my kids are young, too. So, like, you know, whoever becomes the haunt, I got to help them. And,
oh, right, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, our gaming, a lot of it was me and my wife and him and his brother. So it was usually 4-player games. And then on Saturdays or whatever, we maybe get a couple other players. So I remember I had heard about Betrayal at House on the Hill quite a while before. These people were raving about it. It was a podcast I was listening to, and they were talking about it. And I'm like, oh, man, I've seen that game. I want to go buy it. So I go, and it had been out of print for a couple years. I asked for it, and they're like, good luck finding that one, kind of a thing. And then it finally came back into print, and so I was like, I'm buying that game. It's cool because it's different every time.
Yeah, yep. It's freaking awesome game. It's awesome.
And we've played it a lot, but we haven't come close to playing all the haunts.
My son, he's really picky. He knows what haunt he wants to play before we play. So when the haunt comes up, sometimes we have to cheat it because he's like, I haven't done the vampire haunt, and that's what we're going to do.
I don't think I've played that one. The worst, there's only one haunt I've ever played that I didn't like, and it was in the expansion, and it was the first time we played the expansion, and I had invited people over for a game night, and some of them were people that I hadn't seen in a while, and the haunt we pulled is the one where you can't talk. Have you done that one? If you get that one, don't play it. Just don't play it, because it ruins the fun of game night is talking, right?
Yeah.
But every time somebody talked, they lose life. And so everybody figured that out, and so nobody was talking for like an hour. That was the worst gaming experience.
Well, that's what you risk with Betrayal at House on the Hill, right? You know, you don't know what all those haunts are. There could be a nasty porn haunt, dude. We don't know about. We could invite the bishop and his wife over, and you could roll that haunt. I don't know. I haven't read all the haunts.
Right.
You know? You don't know what you're going to get. I don't believe there is. I think it's all G-rated, and maybe there's a dumb one where you can't talk. But, you know, you may want to just decide what haunt you're going to do for game night.
Yeah, there is that.
And that's the safety of my house, because my son reads the haunts, and he's into vampires and werewolves when he does that kind of thing. And those are the haunts you're going to probably do, maybe Frankenstein, something like that. And you'd be happy.
Yeah.
The funniest one we did was we got turned into mice and had to escape the house. And there were these airplane tokens you had to get to, and you're these little mice flying airplanes through the house, trying to get away from the big guy in the house who's trying to smash you before you can get out the window, and you had to get to these windows or doors. Super cool, man. Huh. It's hilarious.
I haven't played that one.
Yeah, so we escaped and we were mice, so I don't know if we won or lost.
Yeah, you're like, well, maybe that's
out of the way.
Got away.
Now we're going to get eaten by cats in the neighborhood.
Right.
Unless these airplanes keep flying and our parents recognize us as mice.
All right. Well, let's play some found audio. So I found this CD a while ago. I did this project. At one point, I had ripped all my CDs as MP3s. And so I was going through and I was re-ripping all of my CDs into an uncompressed file format, because I've become an audio snob, right? And I was going through my CDs, and there was this one that was like a video game. It was Heroes of Might and Magic 5, I think. And I'm like, I don't even remember owning that game. And I open it up, and that's not what was inside of it. Inside of it was this CDR that someone had burned. So we're just going to play the first song off of that disc.
City's a lady. City's a lady. I love you, baby. My beautiful baby. But the city ain't calm, the city is wild. The city is my mom, so now I'm a child. In the city I was born, the city I was raised. The land of the G's and the home of the brave. When y'all walk down the streets late at night, street lights around you cut off in every light. Ghetto to your left and the hood to your right. Since I'm a city boy, everything gon' be alright. Besides, just like the wilderness, the city has rules like. Don't pick the fight if you can't take the bruise like. needs another set, but she's so hot. It is indeed, indeed, into an adventure I'm shoved. Proving to the princess that I've earned her love. In the night, carry her away from her castle. She escapes her bedroom window, no hassle. Watch out for the wicked tweaker of the west. Jealous of the princess in a fly-fly dress. And when you hear the war drums thumping, in the back of the G's drop bumping, this is a part and see the story gets coarse. Down in her hands and knees and pretend she's a horse. Blocks and shots and kisses my lips as I hide behind her waist and rest my gun on her hip. I say, click, click, bang, I'm a medieval soldier. 1997, still the war ain't over. But one question happens to the hood, not the neighborhood, the neighbor's no good. Why do I love the city of hate? I live or I die, I guess it's all fate. In the eye of confusion, I can see no end to the hate of the city and the love of my friends. City love! Master lover, home of a wild child. Corruption, killing, teardrops, children and smiles. My block, your block, hip-hop, tick-tock. My life measured on what button stop clock. The G hates the G and the clicker hates the click. The police hate the G's and the G's hate the pigs. I'm still hating me because my mind is so sick. So sick, so sick at the park. I park my car and stare into the sky. I wonder what's there in the parking lot. I think, oh, reminisce. How could my life come to this? With one question echoes through the hood. What's good? Baby, what's good? City love. As I search through my mind for something good, I look out the window toward my neighborhood. On the corner to the right, a set banger crew running in the house to those friends and mirrors. They hear at my house, short of my boys to pick me up and make some noise. The car's taking off, and baby, I'm in the back. The day is fairly hot, so the wind will crack. In comes that breeze to cool my face. We take that ride all over the place. Divvy, David Jones is driving, driving, we're on the road, road. T-Bone is a shotgun, we're in control. And I'm in the back straight, thinking about good as we roll in the streets in my neighborhood. Well, the sun beams that contrast through the trees. Shadows on the streets are odds to please. It's the summertime, and we're just kicking back. Smell the city in our Cadillac, because I love Salt Lake City. Grass lime green, and the girls are pretty. Yeah, my homie David Jones is really locked down. My imagination is driving around, singing with just some boys on the road. Not looking for trouble, not looking for gold. Because Salt Lake City is beautiful. An apple tree in the field where I dream is fruitful. So because of the good days and not the bad, because of the friendships and homies you had, homies seek to come and do it. If a homie like you gets jacked, I'm in the mix and I got your back with my city love.
So APOV is you, Aaron.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, and that's
my name in Greek without two A's.
Ah, I did not know that.
Yeah, just the Greek alphabet. The V looks like a N looks like a V, and R looks like a P. Once I discovered the Greek alphabet on Word or whatever, you type my name, and it's AAPOV is what it looks like. And I just got rid of one A because that looked dumb, and that's why I used it.
I had always kind of wondered where that came from. I remembered you calling yourself that.
Yeah, because cheesy kids do that.
Yeah, they do.
I like to believe that it's still on the bathroom walls in Cyprus, but I know that that's too clean of a school for it to still be there.
That is a clean school.
Yeah. That's what they're proud of.
Keep Cyprus clean. Well, yeah, here's the thing.
Keep it clean. We're the cleanest school in the district.
We would mock that, but then I remember I went to Taylorsville one time. I took like a class there in the summer, and that place was messy. And I realized, you know what? I really appreciated a clean school because this place is nasty. There was garbage all over the place, and the floors were gross, and the walls were gross. And I was like, oh, you know what? I actually appreciated that.
Our school may be sinking into the dirt, but it's clean.
It is sinking. Were you in art class that day that the stuff jumped off the wall?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, so the school, they already rebuilt a part of it because it sunk into the ground. And we were sitting in art class one day, and this like big, I don't even remember what it was. Something jumped off the wall and made this big crash. And we heard a crash in the other room too. And the sewing room was next to the art room. And they had like this rack of scissors that just jumped off the wall in the sewing room. And we had something that jumped off the wall in the art room. Nobody was even by it. It was just over in the corner and just all this stuff fell over. It's because the building is slowly settling into the dirt again. Just sinking slowly.
So the first track was City Love. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about it.
It was a song I've been messing with for years. You know, you always write lyrics down, and I needed space on my... was filling it in, just needed a song. So I just put it in there. You know, just made a beat on Acid Music and made that song.
You know, when I
it
came...
Was, Yeah.
When I came across that CD, I don't remember you giving it to me.
Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if I did, but I was way into Heroes of Might and Magic. Maybe I didn't know I did. Gave you some Heroes of Might and Magic. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe you thought you were giving me the game.
Yeah.
And I thought you were giving me the game, and I never got around to playing the game.
Like I was telling you, that was one that I would have burned really quick, right? Because that was right in the middle of me finishing up one of my so-called albums, right?
Right.
Like, nothing there was finished. Most of the beats got changed because my friend Justin was doing beats with me.
It's a demo disc.
It was just like one that you would have burned really quick, saying, oh, here's some songs if someone asks you for some or something
right.
that you've been messing with.
So it's really rare. The exact kind.
Pretty much guaranteed the only copy of that in existence.
It's the exact kind of thing we like to feature on Please Leave a Message. So, yeah. Well, we've got an interview for this episode. If you've listened to previous episodes, you might remember when, in the very beginning, Jess Smart Smiley was my co-host. He and I came up with the show together. He approached me. I was at... So the local library here does this comic festival every year, and they invite someone in to be a keynote speaker. So they had this guy come in, and I went to go hear him speak. And I was talking to Jess afterwards because I hadn't seen him for a while. I don't even remember how I met him. He's a local author, artist, and he just got a publishing deal with Scholastic. So that's big time. So he'll be putting out a book with them here pretty soon. Anyway, he says, hey, Richard, I've been thinking about it, and I think you and I should do a podcast together. I kind of just blew it off. I was like, oh, yeah, let's do that. Because in my head, I didn't want to devote the time to doing a podcast, and I wasn't sure I could even do a podcast. I don't talk good. I feel like I am slow of speech. I feel like Moses and I kind of have that. Every time I read that passage of scripture, I'm like, that's me. And every time I read Nephi, he's like, I could talk real good, but I wasn't a good writer. I'm like, I am the exact opposite. You know, I can write pretty good, but I don't talk so great. So Jess says, let's do a podcast. And I said, that's an idea. And I kind of just left it at that. And then the next morning when I was in the shower, I had this great idea. And I'm like, well, I was really gung-ho about doing stuff that I had good ideas for. So I sent that idea to Jess, and he didn't answer me back for like 3 days. I sent that email off to him. 3 days later, I still hadn't heard from him. And he finally emails me. He's like, I'm not ignoring you. I got your email, and it kept me up all night long thinking about what we could do for a podcast. And he had all these ideas of things he wanted to do and added to the idea that I came up with. So anyway, he's like, let's do a podcast. And I said, well, let me look at what equipment I've got. Let me see if I can even pull this off. And I looked around, and because I was into audio and I had gathered a few things, I had just enough to do it. I only bought one piece of equipment to do this podcast, and I didn't even buy it at first. I got around to it later. Anyway, long story short, Jess Smart Smiley started the podcast with me, and then after a couple episodes, he kept not coming on the nights I was recording. He's like, oh, I can't make it that night. And finally he just said, I can't do it. I just apparently don't have time in my schedule to do this. And I had already shelled out money to a place to host the site from. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna keep doing it because I'm already paying the money. So and then I had this guest on a couple episodes ago. It's Jess's evil twin brother, Les Smart Smiley. So we've got an interview with Les Smart Smiley. We'll play that now. All right. So we call this part of the podcast I Tick. We ask everybody the same 6 questions, and it's just an effort to figure out what makes them tick. So tell us your name and what you do.
My name is Les Smart Frowny, and it is my sworn duty to destroy Jess Smart Smiley.
All right. Well, tell us your earliest memory.
My earliest memory is probably the first time that Jess and I were drawing. And, you know, we were drawing pictures, and I had been trying to draw this picture of Alf. And it was, I thought it was pretty good. And I was like, you know, using a reference image and everything, and it was great. But Jess over here, you know, he had figured out from his his friends how to draw one of those cool S's where you draw like some lines and then the triangles. And so everyone thought he was way cooler for drawing those little S's, and he'd write out his name, Jess Smart Smiley, and he'd draw all those little S's in there, and he got all the friends, thought he was so cool. Here I am trying to draw Alf, and nobody cares about Lil Les and his little Alf. So yeah, that was the worst.
All right, tell us a story from your childhood, something that's influenced your life, maybe something you haven't shared often.
I think, for me, it would be the day that I changed my name to reflect my evil intent upon my older brother. It was, so before, I had some other name that I can't remember now, but yeah, I finally decided when I was going to destroy the life and work of Jess Smart Smiley that I needed a really good evil counterpart name, and so I looked to the greats like Wario and Waluigi, and a third example of those who take the names of those they hate and switch a letter in them, and so I took the Jess Smart Smiley name and I turned that J right around to also be Jess. Turns out it's less, but whatever, not like that means anything, and I also didn't like the smiley part, so it's less smart frowny. Makes total sense. Not a dumb name. And yeah, that just truly changed my identity as the destroyer of all that is good in Jess's life.
Well, share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
I think the song that I enjoy the most is The End of the World as We Know It, because I just really like all the parts in it where life is coming crashing down on other people, and their lives are ending, and the world is coming into chaos. I just that really speaks to me on a deep, I wouldn't say spiritual level, but an extremely deep level.
Share with us a piece of media that's been highly influential in your life.
I think for me, you know, I know Jess is into all these old comics and reads the baby stuff like Peanuts or whatever, and I like the edgier comics. I'm talking about Calvin and Hobbes. That stuff is so edgy and deep, and you know, at first it's just some, you know, a kid in a live tiger sledding, and then it like starts talking about life and philosophy and the world, and oh man, it just gets you. And then in the next strip you can be cutting off snowman heads. Man, that's just, it really gets to me, you know? Like, I can just, I really enjoy the idea of a small child playing with a dangerous animal and wreaking death on snowmen. It's so edgy.
All right. Well, Les, tell us about your passion and why you do it.
Well, because Jess and all that is good in his life has ruined everything about my life. My passion is to be his anti, to be his nega, to just try and destroy everything that he has done in this life. So it's my driving force. It's what gets me out of bed. It's what gets me to the gym. It's what gets me to class every day. You know, just trying to find new ways to ruin stuff that Jess does.
Les, what makes you tick?
Anger. Maybe a little bit of envy, but you'll never get me to admit it.
All right. Well, Les, thanks for being on the show.
No problem. It's my displeasure.
So the last two times we recorded, we talked about what we did for Christmas. And I went to Texas for Christmas. And I ate till I was silly. And I put on 5 pounds that I still haven't gotten off. It was... So I changed my diet like a year ago. My wife had done it. She'd lost a lot of weight. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to do that. So I did it. I started eating the way that she was eating. And I was just sloughing pounds off week after week. I lost 50 pounds. And then I don't know what happened. I think it's in my head, it's because my body knows it's winter. And so it's just holding on to stuff. In my head, that's what's going on. Because I was like, it was like clockwork. Every 2 weeks, I was 2 pounds lighter. And some weeks, it wasn't. And then the next week, I would make up for it. Right. So, you know, I dropped 50 pounds and then it just stopped right when we were right about the time that winter started up. And I wasn't going up and I wasn't going down. I was just maintaining it. And then I went to Texas and I gained 5 pounds and I'm still there.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I changed my diet, too, when I found out that the Grand Mac had come out.
The what?
The Grand Mac. So when I was a kid, I was driving to Idaho to see my grandma, and there was this Big Mac in the back window of the car, and my sister was laying on the floor of the car, sleeping. My other sister was laying on the seat, sleeping. This is back before anybody cared about seatbelts.
Right.
And I was laying in the window, trying to sleep. and the sun was warming me. It was winter, and there's garbage in the window, and I was pushing it off on my sister, and I discover in a box a Big Mac. It had been sitting in the car for who knows how long, because my mom says she hadn't been to McDonald's forever. So I started talking to my mom, and I said, "Can I eat this Big Mac?" And she thought I was saying, "Can we go to McDonald's? I want a Big Mac." Finally, I'm just tired of her not understanding me. And this Big Mac had been warmed by the sun, and the bacteria in this Big Mac had been growing. It was the most delicious sandwich I've ever had in my life, right? And when I ate this Big Mac, the flavor penetrated my cheeks and my mouth. It went down my neck, into my arms, my toes. Dude, it was so good. It was magical, man. That's why I believe the future of food is going to have to do with bacteria growth, right? Or something. Whatever was in this Big Mac was something special. And ever since then, I love Big Macs, right? And so just the other day, we got a Big Mac. I was going to get a Big Mac at McDonald's, and we're going through the drive-thru, and we're right up to where we pay. And my wife says, "Have you had the Grand Mac?" And so I got one, and it was big. I'm gaining weight.
They add two more patties to it?
No, it's just like, imagine a Big Mac as big as a Whopper.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, just went bigger.
Okay, I got
it. It's grand.
It's grand.
I'm going to go get one as soon as they start making them today, just because I talked about I want one.
So there is a place, you were in the car going to Idaho. Mm-hmm. So when I was up in Idaho a few years ago, my grandma was like, "We're going to take you all to Big Judd's." And I was like, "What's Big Judd's?" She's like, "Oh, it's just this place over in Archer." And I'm like, "Where's Archer?" She's like, "Oh, it's just this tiny little town that nobody's ever heard of." And then I found out that this place has been, it's one of those places that's been on like the Food Channel, one of those like challenge places, because they've got a big, gigantic burger there.
Yeah, like, sounds delicious.
As big as a dinner plate. They call it the big Judd, and it has it has a full pound of meat on it, and it's huge. It's massive, and I'm like, I'm going to do that challenge. I did it. I finished it. They took my picture and put me up on the wall. The last few bites, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do it, but I'm like, I want my picture on that stupid wall.
So on my mission, we had this elder who, on the way to Idaho in Logan Canyon, there's this, long story short, he fell off. It's like a, why can't I remember the name of this? This is where water comes out of. Spring. There's a spring there. And he fell off the rock on his head and got brain damage, right? Super nice guy. You wouldn't know he had brain damage if you met him, but he does.
Okay.
Elder Unsworth had eaten 35 pieces of pizza. That was the mission record. I remember him telling me, "I ate 35 pieces of pizza." And the other guy's name was Elder Pease. I said, "Elder Pease, he ate 35. Elder Pease is like, "I can beat that." And so we went to CC's Pizza, and he started eating. And we saved the crust. That's how we knew, right?
Right.
And by the time we're done, we got a picture of him with a plate full of crust. He ate 37 pieces of pizza, right?
Okay.
He was so stuffed. And it's because his brain damage, his body don't know when he's full. He ended up projectile vomiting in the parking lot. Like, amazing. So I called Unsworth that night to rub it in his face. I'm like, "Fool, Elder Pease beat your record." And he's like, "No way. He ate more than 17 pieces of pizza." I said, "17? I said, "I thought you ate 35. He goes, "No, the record's 17. "How many did he eat?" I go, "He ate 37 pieces of pizza." And then when I got my new companion, the mission president, used this as an example. He said, "Don't do stupid things on your mission, elders." He says, "These missionaries in one area encourage a missionary to eat 37 pieces of pizza, and it can really hurt him." Anyway, it was stupid.
That is stupid, but you know what? As missionaries, you do stupid stuff sometimes. So we did in Denton, Texas. There's the Denton, Texas. I can't remember what the place is called. It's like the Denton School or something like that. And it's like this group home for people that they need help. So like they have brain damage or they have... So they're like, they're pretty normal, but they're just, there's something about them that makes it that you can't really let them live on their own. And so this is like this big, it's like a compound. You have to drive out of the city, and they've got like all these buildings out there. And we would go do service at that school. There was a donut shop in town where if you go in at a certain time, they'll give you all the screwed up donuts in a box for like really cheap.
That's what I'm talking about.
And when we were out there doing service, they would go get a box of those and they'd bring them in for us to snack on. And they're like, "Yeah, Elder so-and-so, he ate, I can't remember how many he ate. I think it might have been 17. He ate 17 donuts. And I was like, that doesn't seem like very much. I think I could beat that. He was like this big Tongan guy. And so I did. I pounded 27 donuts. And they were like, Elder McLean, what are you doing? I'm going to beat that record. I'm going to beat that record. And the funny thing was, like, usually when you're trying to do a donut record, you only eat the light ones. So you eat the glazed ones, right?
You don't eat the custard filled donuts.
You don't eat like the cake donuts or whatnot.
Yeah.
Half of those donuts that I ate were the cake donuts. So I had like 10 cake donuts and 17 glazed donuts that day. I was like, take that, Elder so and so, I beat your record.
We had a hot dog eating contest at church, and your cousin, Kevin won it.
Oh, did he?
And I didn't answer because I'm like, I'm not going against these boys. I'm going to kill myself, man.
They're huge.
Yeah. He ate 5 hot dogs, dude. When I was done, I was like, I eat 5 hot dogs on accident, you know? Like, and they're all acting all full, and I'm like, boys, you know, like, gosh, I should enter this contest. You know, I didn't want to do it to my body. I knew I'm too competitive. I'll eat like 50 freaking hot dogs or something, you know. And these 3 or 4 boys who entered the contest, I think Kevin won at 5 hot dogs. He's like, I can't eat another bite. And I'm like, dude, please. You know, 5 hot dogs goes down like, you know, a drink of soda to me, man. I thought you guys were going to be in the 30s, you know, for the winner of this contest. If I'd have known I could win with 6 hot dogs, I would have entered. To this day, I regret not entering this contest, because then I would have had a freaking contest under my belt. I've never won a food contest ever. And the one I could have won, Kevin won at 5 hot dogs.
It's hilarious.
I'm pretty sure it was 5 too, dude. Pretty sure.
That's not a lot.
That's not impressive.
That's not impressive at all.
I was picturing these boys dipping them in water like that Asian guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, they're going to go crazy, because I would have. But you know what would have happened if I would have entered? They'd have got competitive.
Yeah. Right?
And we'd have ended at like 25 or something, and we'd all been sick for days.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway.
That's what happens. We're going to play another song off this APOV album.
The graveyard, point you the back. A cruise through the graveyard in my Hertz Cadillac. The flowers on the graves and the sorrow in the air. And it sort of makes you wonder who's in there. The name in the first stone was Samuel Sloan Smith. The date in the first stone was 1996. Not the day he was born, but the day that he died. The day he was born was 1975. Samuel's born, biggity bad to the bone. Hey, yo, y'all, so better leave this bad boy alone. Cause in his grade school, middle school, high school, the underground rule was Samuel makes rules. Well, Sam started strapping at the age of 1-6. He was so hard that he didn't have many chicks. He contracted into a gang that he picked. He banged that gang till he was 21. Samuel, too, fell victim to the gun. Never had a kid, never had a wife. All he ever had was a Jesus in his life.
Right.
Walk through the graveyard, point to the back. A cruise through the graveyard in my Hearst Cadillac. Flowers on the graves and sorrow in the air. And it makes me wonder who's in there. Another stone in the cemetery bed. Jenny caught a bullet, went boy to her head. Jenny lived to 15 and she wore thick glasses. In junior high, passed all her classes. Never got asked out by a boy. The close she got to that simple joy was every Saturday. Her dad'd take her to the ice cream shop. A scoop of ice cream, a cherry on top. Dad gave Jenny a hug and shrugged. Remember, baby doll, that is you I love. Dad loved Jenny, Jenny knew it'd be alright. Cause it's just junior high, she got the rest of her life. Click, click, bang, a gangster missed. I wish she would've hit, I'm getting kinda pissed. Cause just another gangster would be dead. But Jenny caught a bullet, went boy to her head. I walk through the graveyard, point to the back. I cruise through the graveyard in my Hearst Cadillac. Flowers on the graves and sorrow in the air. And it makes me wonder who's in there. The point to the rap, I'm gonna kick it to the back. Let me squeal about life, cause it's whack, straight whack. You never thought about it, but if you weren't living, you couldn't jump in a stream and start swimming. You never raise a kid or ride a bike. And if you're dead, you can't stay up late at night. You never again go and kiss that girl that made your head straight start to whirl. Basically, afterlife or not, your body just lays in a coffin and rots. Think about it, and you decide. Do you want to live or do you want to die? A home in the grave. graveyard 6 feet in the back. And to the top of the charts comes a world-renowned rap. Your homies get married, your homies under the lawn. But even without you, fool, life goes on, it goes on.
Okay, so this song, this was the second song. You told me it was Amazing Grace is the name of it.
Yep. So I remember that song.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
You know, just trying to fill in space on this album. You know, you got tons of lyrics and you're trying to put them together. And for most rap lyrics, right, you can take any group of them and chances are they're going to kind of represent what you're trying to say. What you need is some monotony break in the middle. You know, ideally a girl singing or something like that, you know, sounds the best. But something in the middle that's going to break apart your lyrics.
They call that the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge, exactly. And Amazing Grace was just a dumb one that we made. Well, it wasn't dumb. It was just kind of our bridge in this song. And we were just throwing lyrics together. My friend Justin was involved in that. And at the end of it, my friend Mikey got in and did stuff too when we were all done. But it was just a song we were putting together and playing with. It sounded pretty good at one point. You know?
I'm taking guitar lessons right now. I bought this guitar 4 years ago. And I bought the guitar and I bought Rocksmith. And I was like, I'm going to learn to play guitar. I play it. Have you played Rocksmith at all?
No.
So, because it's like Guitar Hero, but you play it with a real guitar instead of a toy guitar. So you actually learn how to play stuff. And I noticed, I've been playing it for a while. I can play a song and I get to a certain point. Like the difficulty as you play it, every time you play through it, it ramps the difficulty up a little bit. It throws more notes at you to play. And then places where you were playing just one note, now it wants you to play a chord there. And there was a certain level of difficulty that it would hit on every single song. It would ramp up to about the same level of difficulty. And then I was stuck. I couldn't get any further. And I wasn't really learning the chords that I was playing. I was just kind of, and I wasn't actually really learning the songs. Like I could play it when the game was playing, but it wasn't like I could play it outside of that. So I finally was like, this isn't working for me. This apparently works for hundreds of people, but it's not working for me. And then I realized that I could take a guitar class for free because I work for the university and they teach a guitar class. But I was worried because they have a music department, right? And I thought I would take this guitar class and everybody there would already know what they're doing and be like leaps and bounds ahead of me. So I contacted the teachers that teach it. I said, look, I'm a complete absolute beginner. I don't know what I'm doing. Is this a class that's appropriate for someone like me? And like, yeah, most of our students have never touched a guitar. So I'm like, oh, good. So I'm taking guitar one.
So is it better?
Oh, yeah. Certain things I can teach myself. I have no problem. I go read stuff. I can figure stuff out. No problem. And then other things, I can't do that. Like other things, in the beginning, I need guidance. I need somebody to show me the way at first. And then once I've gotten that experience under my belt, then I can figure it out on my own from that point forward. And I think that's how guitar is. I was struggling. In my head, this is how I would learn to play guitar. When I got Rocksmith, this is how I thought it would go. I would get the game. I would play the game. It would teach me chords. And then when you play, because I know lots of guitar players and I've watched them play. And they only play like three chords in a song, three or four chords. And they just strum. You strum on a chord and then you change a chord and you strum on that chord. And then you change the chord and you strum on that chord. So that's what I thought guitar playing would be like. But Rocksmith, I think it's teaching me lead guitar parts. So it's more like moving your hand a lot and playing different notes, playing like the melody of the song with a few chords thrown in. That's not what I had in mind. You know, I was thinking that when I learned, I would start with like rhythm guitar stuff and then move up to the melody stuff. But I even told the game that I wanted to play rhythm guitar. But like, I guess half the songs don't have a rhythm guitar part for you to play. And so you just end up playing the melody anyway. But the good thing is, in the class, he's giving us guidance. He's like, okay, start with these five chords, then learn these chords, and he's teaching us a lot of music theory. Like, stuff that I took music theory in high school. Like, some of this stuff I feel like I should have known, and I didn't. All right, I think we should play another A-pop song.
Politicians are courteously courting the country. Our babies are hungry. Got lots of money, I guess with billions in the banks, we can't feed the widows or rebuild the ghettos or stop a child with a stiletto. Plus wars in court saying Christian beliefs cause war and griefs and homosexual chiefs attack freedom of speech. They got freedom of speech, let us speak while I'm speaking. I'm also opposed to gambling, horn, and drinking. I believe in alcohol and cigarettes, CEOs sold their souls to fill empty holes with Betty and hoes. I'm also opposed to lying, backbiting, and fighting. If you read the Bible, you know what's right and wrong. Here's the points of life song.
it takes. A bigger man to turn the other cheek and pull a gun and reek the streets of murder stink. I love you, don't hate you, and I pray if you're drowning. You swim with all your might through the life that I found in. Pound on the door where we open our clothes. Father welcomes you home, replace the wraps with robes. In a joy you'll find, peace fills your mind, and you'll never be blind with the light of Christ. Yeah, persecution fall, men will hate you for him. And the world is sin once you're walking with them. There's only one way, it's a road self travel. The harder today, the smallest force in the battle. Your nations think you're battered, be divided and fall. Crumble to the dust and not remembered at all. But I can be one with the Father and Son, the Holy Ghost and my companion. Why should I run? There's no need to fight because I can't be killed till my mission's fulfilled. Two, stand firm and proclaim Christ's glorious name is the only way. All the roads fade away. Kill me now and let my body lay. Let my words ring true on judgment day.
When mortality dies, spirits are let free to a place where wicked fires unto goodness and peace. We could have an eyes like as fast as I like. Compared to eternity, like a wrinkle in time. Hope you remember me when I pass on the other side. I give props to the deceit. To my cousin, I'd love to be done. Never had a chance to learn from his mistakes. Being in his teens, murder fiends took them away. Retaliation was planned as a plot of revenge. Before we laid a hand, please put the puck in the pen. Guess it's lucky for him, not so lucky for us. Killing life through time, now you're shackled and cut. Revenge is not mine, it's the Lord's. He's the one that opens doors. He's a powerful force that people ignore. So being hardcore is only power in yourself. So ask the Lord God for a little bit of help.
Here's to all the times, talks, plans, and parties. Here's to the past that will always be a party. All the master, all players playing the part. Wherever you are, you're still in my heart. We live corrupt, put in dirt and time. Felt the pains of sin that left scars in our mind. I look back now, I think we must have been blind. But without the light of Christ, what hope can you find? So many of us youngsters walk the tragic crowd. Drugs, game, immorality, prison, jail. You want a party? There's a price that I'll fail. Nail, a sign to the wall. This wood is a lonely. And so is all the children hanging out with their homies. Their faces grown cold if they had faith at all. Our thugs think of God behind prison walls. So what I want to say is you're not important. And if you shoot that punk fool on the corner, and no one out there respects that, you're lucky if you get a newspaper clip. Cause even if you're dead, the rain will keep falling. Or maybe a brew will tip and keep pouring. But that's all you get, cause life goes on. And we ain't just life goes on.
Life, the decision at hand. Didn't know from where you come from, so you ran. You're one individual piece of sand. You're on this planet, why? You don't understand. Hardness of heart makes life dark. Darkness is what holds you apart from seeing the light of day. Jesus is his name, got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So I fear no man, cause man can't save. From the beginning of sorrows to the winning of tomorrow, the path of the straight and narrow, set you free, fly away like a sparrow.
The point to the rap, I'm gonna kick it to the back. Let me school you about life, cause it's whack, straight whack. You never thought about it, but if you weren't living, you couldn't jump in a stream and start swimming. You never raise a kid or ride a bike. And if you're dead, you can't stay up late at night. You never again gonna kiss that girl that made your hair straight start to whirl. Basically, after life or not, your body just lays in a coffin of rot. So think about it, and you decide. Do you wanna live, or do you wanna die?
You look in the mirror and the reflection shows. You're a person in this world, you're a living soul. But does a reflection reflect who you are inside? Are you a cold dog now? Are you enraged like a fire? Starving your spirit like a dot. Rather learn wrong than get it right. Scared of the world, so you pack a knife. I stopped life with my ride. Gun was stunned.
It just ain't the type of meat.
Well, I think we covered everything that we covered last time we recorded, except my massive list of food that I ate in Texas. But
oh, dude, that was cool, man. You should sit down and tell them about the Carlsbad Caverns.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that makes me want to go there. But you know what, dude? I don't want to go there and wait an hour. That's not my style.
So go.
To get back up, I want to go there on Christmas Eve.
Go like Christmas Eve like we did, because there was no one there.
That's when, if I plan it to go to Carlsbad Caverns, do they have a line for claustrophobics? Can I fake being claustrophobic so I can get the hell out of there?
You don't need to be.
I'm having a hard time. I gotta go. It's an emergency.
That's the thing, though. Like, every cave tour I've ever been on until Carlsbad Caverns had Fat Man's Misery, which is a really skinny part that you have to squeeze through. Right?
Yeah, yep.
Every single cave I've been to.
That's where the tour would have ended for me. Been like, okay, kids, I'll be here. Don't get in trouble because I can't come get you. This is where the tour ends.
So that Carlsbad didn't have that. Maybe they do up in. So you can hike in from the natural cave entrance, and it's like, I don't know how far it is, but it's a pretty good hike. But we didn't do that because we didn't have time. We were already adding on to a long day of driving by stopping, and I wasn't convinced, because I've been on so many cave tours. I just wasn't convinced that we needed to stop when we had such a long drive ahead of us. But my wife is...
Dude, I think just like, man, I'm like, hey, our hotel's got Wi-Fi and a pool. You know, why don't we get there earlier so I can spend more time on Wi-Fi and at the pool rather than seeing this natural cave, which I've seen plenty of in all my scout days.
Right.
Not interested in it.
Yeah. So that was the day we were driving into Texas. So that would have been, okay, that would have been, it wasn't Christmas Eve. It was the day before Christmas Eve.
Okay. So I got a little bit of time frame there that I can do it.
Yeah. Good. You go in, you take an elevator. Do you have a fourth grader? Because fourth graders can get...
I will.
Okay, so plan it when you've got a fourth grader, because if you got a fourth grader, you can get into national parks for free.
That's what I'm talking about.
So...
I need to figure that one out. What do we got to... You got to get the pass before you go?
Yeah, you have to print out...
Just be like, here's my fourth grader.
No, you have to print out the pass beforehand.
Okay.
Because we
homeschool. I wonder if I can just say my kid's a fourth grader. I held him back. It's a fourth grader.
So yeah, you take your you get your fourth grade pass and get into national parks free. Anyway, so you go in, you get your ticket, you wait for the elevator, and the elevator is 750 feet, which is
a lot of feet.
That's a 75 story building down into the ground. You take this really long elevator, and it's huge. It's massively huge. It's unlike any other cave I've been in. Like,
so you're saying they had a food court?
Yeah.
Well, see, and now you're talking my language. If there wasn't a food court, I would have no plans of trying to see Carlsbad Cavern. Going down and eating food 75 stories underground really appeals to me. Going down and seeing a massively huge, beautiful cave full of stalagmites and stalactites does not appeal to me at all. But if I can go there, and if I can eat a burger and fries and enjoy myself, now we're talking. Even if they were closed, I could bring food with me. You know, I'd much rather have food prepared in Carlsbad Cavern, though. It sounds delicious.
Yeah, and they do. They've got this huge area that they've dynamited out. I'll put a picture of the bathroom because the bathrooms are hilarious. You go, I can't wait till I get back to the surface. I got to find a bathroom down here. And you go into the food court area and you go around this corner and there's a sign that says restrooms. And you're looking at it and you're like, that's a cave tunnel. That's a tunnel that goes back. I can't even tell how far. So I'm tenuously walking. I'm like, I'm not sure this is the right way to go for a bathroom. And you go back and you go back and you go down this long kind of tunnel. And then there's just, they're normal bathrooms.
That's funny.
But you have to go down this tunnel for it. But yeah, it's really cool. And when we were leaving, I noticed that they've got the rope line set up, and there was a sign: the wait for the elevator is 1 hour from here.
See, there we go. There's the problem.
But there was no, like, we had to wait maybe 5 minutes because we had to wait for the elevator to come down 750 feet. They had the two small elevators running when we were there because the two big elevators are being redone. They've like blasted them out and they've enlarged them and they're making them bigger so they can accommodate more people.
Well, it'll probably be better when I go then.
Probably. Four elevators running instead of two small elevators.
That's now on my list of to-dos, man. My wife wants to go to Amish country and stay in an Amish house and do Amish work.
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
That's where we did it.
It's for vacation. Let's go do some work.
We didn't do work, but we went to the Amish store and we went to the Amish restaurant. The Amish restaurant was good.
Well, see, now you're talking my language. I'd like to go to an Amish restaurant.
So
has some shoe fly pie and whatever else they make.
It was just home cooking, but it was really good home cooking.
Oh, that's making me hungry. I'm going to cook potatoes for breakfast now.
Man, it was good stuff.
I cook good potatoes too, Richard. Salt, chicken bouillon, and pepper, dude. Chop those things up real small and fry them. Pop some eggs and bacon on them. Biscuits, gravy.
I learned to make biscuits and gravy on my mission.
If you can make homemade biscuits, you got it, dude.
I do.
That is freaking hard.
I do.
Bro.
I do homemade biscuits and gravy.
My hard thing with that is I don't understand. You can't knead it too much. Or you just have, like, when they make it, they know how much to fold it. They just fold a little bit.
Yeah, the recipe I have, it has you fold it 14 times.
See, and I feel like I don't have a visual memory of trying that, but I feel like every time I try it, I mess it up. I'm going to have to go back and do biscuits again because I just get the canned biscuits are so easy to make.
Yeah, they are.
Frozen biscuits can be freaking good. You know what I mean? Like those frozen biscuits. I'm getting hungry, Richard. I think we're going to have to cut this short in a minute, man. So, hey, quick thing. I was thinking about one of my companions, right? Well, no, never mind. Forget it.
No, do it. Do it.
No, it's. I don't even know where this came from. It's the stupidest thing ever. Dude.
Okay, that means you have to say it.
So, my companion always told the story about how his dad got in the bishopric, right? I don't know why this even came up in my brain. So, you'll see why I shouldn't have said it. But the bishopric, right before he went on his mission, asked his dad to talk. And his dad was giving a talk on salvation of some kind. His dad got up and he stood up and he looked at the audience and he said, "As far as I'm concerned, the bishopric can go to hell or heaven. It depends on how they live their life. And that's what my talk's about." And they called him the bishopric the next week, dude. And they asked me to talk, and I had to work, so I couldn't, right? But I was totally going to do it, dude. I, you can fit that into any talk. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do that joke. I've been telling that joke for years. I'm going to do it. And my wife talked. I had to stay home and work. And I think God protected me from doing it. But I've been wanting to tell that joke for years, and I'm just waiting for a chance, man. And I almost had it. So
that is funny. In the when we lived in West Valley, there was a guy in that ward that every time that they called him, he would sneak song lyrics into his talk. So like, and it would be like Led Zeppelin lyrics or you know, something like that.
My heart wants to cry. Take me down to Paradise City, where the grass is green. That's how I feel about the scriptures. Black is black. Back in black. Or
something. Yeah, so
is there a heaven for a G? That's funny.
So yeah, he would always do that. It was funny. And it was great because there was only like a handful of people in the congregation that would even catch it. So, you know, he was a funny guy. Thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you're willing to do this three times just to get it to work. And
I appreciate you being willing to talk to me after knowing me as a kid, dude. I got friends who won't.
Well, you know what? You were always nice to me, Aaron. And that's all that matters to me.
Well, I thought I was a nice kid, you know, but some people don't think that.
I know.
I feel him. I bet you that John Durbich, is his name right, Durbich?
I think that sounds right.
I don't think he likes me, dude. I think that he has nightmares. He tried to be a good scout leader, and I was the worst kid he could ever imagine, dude. He had such a hard time with me, bro. Anyway, that's just throwing one out there.
Well, and I know you had some rough times.
Yeah.
And
I didn't think I was that bad until after Scouts. I just had a good time on scout camps. I loved them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
I put stinging nettle in that cop son's sleeping bag, though. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny, too. I'll tell you, his dad didn't like me, for sure. What was his name? David Johnson?
I don't remember. That's the thing. Like, I have memories, but, like, I can't remember names. I remember people, but I don't remember names. All right. I do have to wrap it up. It's time to go clean the church. But thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Take care, dude.